today on Real Radio.
James 1:17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Why does the Bible say no variation or shadow of turning? Because times change. Things are going on in the world, but God never changes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack delivers a special presentation in commemoration of the national holiday we celebrate this week here in America, Thanksgiving. My personal favorite holiday, by the way. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a message called, We Give Thanks to You, O God.
I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 1, and the scripture there says, We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. And I love that. I want you to be thinking about tonight as I race through these considerations of being thankful, that verse is very powerful, that we give thanks to God. It is a decision that we make. And church, you've got to listen to me tonight. You've got to pretend this evening in a lot of ways. I don't want to be preaching a sermon or teaching a sermon to you. I'd rather be at a table talking with you. But it also demands that there be a little bit of a boot camp encouragement or exhortation to us tonight, because being thankful is a decision that you have to make. You can be the most spoiled, rotten person in the world and never be thankful. In fact, most people who are spoiled are not thankful. A kid surrounded by gifts and a host of adults at his or her beck and call to spoil them at the drop of a hat is a very disgruntled child. And yet God has given us so much as a nation, and yet times are different like never before. Appreciation, gratitude, thanksgiving is something that's not natural to the human heart. We've got to nurture that. Depends on how we see things, how we view things. Thanksgiving is uniquely American. It's been known as America's first holy day. We say holiday. Holiday means holy day. Robert Treat Paine in 1775, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, quote, I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me my birth in a land of gospel light. Listen to this. Where the glorious tidings of the Savior and of pardon and salvation through him have been continually sounding in mine ears. He says, in mine ears, Old English. That's your history. And by the way, I encourage you to look up all these quotes and the quotes that you hear often from this pulpit in the area of American heritage and history. I want you to know something right now. If you Google almost any quote of one of our founders, one of the websites that will come up will be something like fake history or fake quotes. Be careful. I have quoted you some of the most historic and lifelong quotations from Benjamin Franklin and Patrick Henry that I have seen engraved in granite in Washington, D.C., but someone will go to a website and say, that's not a real quote, because some idiot on the internet has a website that says it's not a real quote. Those are revisionists. When Robert Treat Paine said, my heart's thankful because I was birthed in a nation where there's the gospel light, there'll be those in an instant saying, that's not true. You guys need to be wise thinkers more than ever before, and here's the deal. You will always be safe if you go back to the original source. And be careful. You will not learn what's taken people a lifetime to learn. You will not get a doctorate in history by spending 15 seconds on a website. Why do I say that? Because there are those who, as are in the news this week, that are defaming our first true holy day, Thanksgiving. Did you know it has, according to them, nothing to do with the pilgrims? It has nothing to do with Massasoits or the Wampanoag Indians coming to our aid. It has nothing to do with William Bradford. It has nothing to do with Josiah Winslow. It has nothing to do with the Mayflower. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It has to do with celebrating harvest festivals in the new revisionist mind. And it's out of control. But tonight you're going to hear something completely different. You have that proclamation in front of you. That's from President George Washington. And I want you to hang on to that. The reason why we took the effort to print it up for you tonight is because this is the original Thanksgiving proclamation. You might say, or if you look up on the internet, no, they'll say, no, it was Abraham Lincoln who brought it up. It's relatively new. No, that's not true. This proclamation was actually declared by George Washington on the third day of October, 1789, in New York City, the first capital of the United States or the colonies, before Washington, D.C. It was Washington's first year as president. And in the relocation, this proclamation was not discovered. It was lost in American antiquity and then rediscovered in the vaults of the White House. You can read all about that. But I want you to take the time later to see how many times George Washington, the first president of the United States, remember now, we live in a non-Christian nation. Remember that. We live in a nation that was not founded by Christians, the revisionist says. And here you have the first citizen of America, the first president, the first commander-in-chief, giving accolades to God. In Washington, D.C., at the Library of Congress, there's housed many other documents, of course, and records of American holy day accounts. The earliest record is quite shocking. Listen, those of you who are young, listen to this history. You won't get this in school. The earliest record of an actual decided Thanksgiving was in 1541 by Spanish explorer Coronado, who's south of here on Coronado Island. That's where I was born. Coronado, the great explorer, gave thanks to God in coming to America. Then French Protestant colonists in St. Augustine, Florida, held a Thanksgiving service to Almighty God in 1564. And again in 1607, the Jamestown settlers held a solemn assembly of thanksgiving to God at Cape Henry, Virginia. The first recorded call for an annual Thanksgiving was given at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia, in 1619, when Captain John Woodliffe and 38 settlers aboard the ship Marguerite proclaimed, and I quote, "We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." As modern Americans, we tonight, the first Thanksgiving that comes to our minds is the ones that is based upon the Thanksgiving in 1621 at Plymouth Colony, and so it should. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord." And William Bradford and those pilgrims that came over hung on to those verses, and you can read them in their own writings. You can actually buy today William Bradford's book and read it. How they sought God and dedicated this nation to the Lord, and they were thankful. The world's national boundaries of all the nations, think about that. In the coming to America, what, was God in that? Well, yeah. If you go back to 1492 and the log of Christopher Columbus, by the way, it's online. You can look at his daily log. The great book, The Light and the Glory, that annals the history of Christopher Columbus. He was completely, absolutely given over to the fact that God was in the founding of America. Of course, that's different than the History Channel's version completely. They have him as a drunken maniac obsessed with gold. But that's not what Christopher Columbus says about the nations or about America. It's interesting that Deuteronomy 32:8 says, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, he divided mankind, and he fixed the borders of nations according to the number of the sons of men." What a tremendous verse. I want you to look at a few things. Number one, we give thanks to God this way for his awesome works. Can we say amen to that? That God has done awesome works. And you need to make a decision right now. I know that the economy is depressed. I know that in California specifically, I think we have the highest unemployment rate in all 50 states. If not, we're the second highest, but I think we're the first. Our nation is in financial peril. New home purchases are down 8.1% today. People are losing their jobs. Do you understand that God is still on his throne? And that if you're in here tonight and you've lost your job and you can't buy a house and you don't know where your next paycheck's going to come from, understand something. God is awesome and he never changes. You say, well, if he's so awesome, why doesn't he fix? Listen, this is a time of purifying for this nation and for that matter, for the world. The world is in trouble, but God is awesome. In Psalm 145, verse 3, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we're going to do this in a moment. And his greatness is unsearchable. You need to remember that. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. Friends, church family, listen, visitor, you've got to take your issues and put them in light of the glorious, awesome works of God. And everything else gets smaller. Let me tell you something. I'll let you in on something very personal in my home. When we get up in the morning, I'm usually up hours before Lisa. It's just the way that I'm wired. And when she gets up, she says, Jack, our house is very small. I can hear her say that, and I come quickly. We go through the word for the day together, and then we pray. And she's a stickler for this. Okay. She's a stickler for those the acronyms for ACTS. You know what those are for? You guys practicing those things? I know the men's prayer team does that. But ACTS, we come and we just appreciate him. We give his accolades. We thank him. Lisa won't pray and talk to God unless she thinks about all of his attributes and she speaks them out loud. And I'm listening. And she's going and I'm listening and then I'm listening and then she's going, will you say something? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, because she just goes. When she starts going, you got to jump in. And you're awesome. And then she's going and she's going and she's going. And then I got to jump in and say, you're great. And then she's going, man. And then you go to confess. Confession of our sins. Lord, forgive us for being short or ill-tempered or lazy or whatever it might be. Lord, we make confession. And then T, thanks. God, we thank you for all of your wondrous works. We thank you, God. And listen, I don't know about you, but I have never been more thankful in my life. And I know from many of you that I've talked to, there's something in the air where we are thankful. There's something going on. Maybe all the comforts that we have are about to evaporate, and that makes us be very thankful. When we turn on the faucet, we have water that we can drink, and I'm thankful. Tonight, after Wahoo's, I'll go home and I'll get into a warm bed, and I'll be thankful. I'm thankful I have shoes tonight. Are you thankful? I've never been more thankful in all of my life. God is so good. Something's going on. His wondrous works. And he was known, by the way, to the pilgrims as the pilgrims' pastor, John Robinson. And he wrote, and I quote, now as the people of God in old time were called out of Babylon, the place of their bodily bondage, and were come to Jerusalem, and they're there to build the Lord's temple. So we are the people of God now to go out of this spiritual Babylon to America, to a new Jerusalem for us, and there to build ourselves living stones into a spiritual house for the Lord to dwell in. And the pilgrims saw God do awesome things. Number two is that we give thanks to God tonight for his exceeding supply. This is going to sound silly in a second, but just hear me out. In Psalm 103, verse 1, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. James 1:17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Why does the Bible say no variation or shadow of turning? Because times change. Things are going on in the world, but God never changes. Please hang on to that like never before. It's almost as though God had preserved America for the last days. Think about how old Europe is, for example, and how old the Orient is, for example, and the continent that you're sitting on, how young the whole thing is. Your family, go back a generation to your parents, go back to their parents. Go back to three generations. Now you go back just four generations. Right now in my home, in my life, there's me, there's my children, and now we have a granddaughter. Think about that. Generations. What about you? Going back four to five generations, we come back to the formation of the United States. I've knocked on doors in Russia at the Kremlin that were 1,000 years old. In America, it's like a gangly teenager. It seems as though God had preserved America, and I believe he did. Listen to this. From the 1740s to around the year 2000, the Lord blessed America more than any other nation that the world has ever seen. Ever. By the way, including Israel, their day's coming. Their days of blessings are coming. You may not know this because you and I have been satisfied on so much and we become complacent. But even when the British invaded the 13 colonies in early America, it is recorded, and I have the writings at home, I'm trying to remember what book it is, but it is recorded that when the officers and soldiers broke in to the common colonial home, our furniture and our fabric and our standard of living was higher than any other country in Europe. Did you know that? In 1775. God blessed the bounty. Did you know that when the British invaded Breed's Hill or Bunker Hill, as we know it in America, Breed's Hill? Yeah, the British won, but Parliament said, if we have any more victories like this, it will surely prove ruinous to the victor. The British won the Battle of Bunker Hill, but it cost them 1,000 British lives in an appalling slaughter. When they got to the top of Bunker Hill, they looked around in the midst of all the death and mayhem. They said it was the most pristine, perfect, beautiful place outside of heaven. They said the only thing you could see was the beautiful waters of Boston Harbor and the Atlantic, rolling green hills, apple orchards as far as the eye could see, and only interrupted by the spires of church steeples. God had blessed America. And I know this sounds silly, his exceeding supply for America, but while the British forces were starving to death in most cases, in the opening years of the Revolutionary War that brought about our independence, the American soldier was the best fed. And you ought to read the accounts, the little menus for the soldiers in the opening years of the Revolution were amazing. You see, what do you bring that up for? Because you know what, the other day, this is going to sound corny, but the other day, Lisa and I were in the grocery store on Monday night. I saw three of you in there Monday night. And I had in my hand corn on the cob, and I was looking at it, and this is just what's going on in my heart. I was looking at it, and I told Lisa, I said, look at this. How can someone not believe in a God? If you do not believe in God tonight, I want you to go and stand in the produce section of any grocery store And I want you to ask yourself, the corn, the broccoli, the onions, the oranges, the apples, the fruits and the vegetables alone speak of the glory of God. On top of the fact that he not only engineered them to be wonderful for us, but even as they change in seasons, they just happen to be the exact vitamins that you need during the long daylight hours and the short daylight hours, the warm temperatures, the cold temperatures. God did all that. And America has been the produce capital of the world. So if you doubt the existence of God, go look at a banana. And you tell me how evolution can concoct a banana, a perfect, packaged, ready to ship, sealed in its own wrapping. Perfect fruit. And a coconut can drift across the oceans and land on the sandy beach and become a tree to bring more coconuts. God is awesome. And he has exceedingly blessed and supplied America. We are so spoiled, we have forgotten God, I fear. We give God thanks, number three, because, listen, of his strong protection. I'm concerned about this one. Take a look at the patriotic songs of America. And I don't even know if they're taught in schools anymore. But when I grew up, you know, remember when we grew up, we were in public school. Remember the songs we used to sing? We used to sing God Bless America. We had to. It would offend somebody. Nobody even used the word offend. The word wasn't even used. We were Americans. Yeah, but you know what? This guy's from Portugal. This guy's from Canada. We were Americans. And we sang songs. Yankee Doodle Dandy. This land is our land. Remember that? Do you remember when you used to be able to go to Disneyland? Because Walt Disney loved America. And all the presentations. Remember Abraham Lincoln? Remember he'd stand up? Remember? He'd talk to you, Lincoln. Our national anthem, our early American songs spoke of a nation dependent upon God. That's why you don't hear those songs anymore. It's all about God. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Listen to this. America trusted in the Lord with all of its heart and leaned not to its own understanding. In all of its ways it acknowledged God. God directed its paths. America was humble. It was not wise in its own eyes. Rather, it feared the Lord and departed from evil. Listen to this quote. A patriot must be a religious man, wrote Thomas Jefferson. God who gave us life gave us liberty. And again, he said, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when, listen, we have removed their only firm basis? Well, what's that? Mr. Jefferson, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called We Give Thanks to You, O God. It's a message commemorating the national holiday we celebrate this week here in America, Thanksgiving. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs. And you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.